him. Trail of Tears. All here at USB. 90.1 FM. WUSB. Stony Brook. Where we have the home of the best concert billboard. And right after the concert billboard will be Brain Damage. So here now is the concert billboard.
Hi, this is Lisa with your concert billboard for Sunday, October 10th. Tonight, Jimmy Roselli and Tony Santoro are at Westbury Music Fair. The Touch are at the Dublin Pub. Willie Steele and the Terraplan Blues Band are at Mother McGee's. Band of Gold is at the Timepiece Cafe. False Attack is at Fast Eddie's. Warzone, Dark Side, and Social Value are at the Roxy. Maceo Parker is at the Stephen Talkhouse. Cactus J, Slackers, Skinnerbox, Special Request, and Funk Face are at Wetlands. Huggy Bear, The Frumpies, and Blood Sausage are at Maxwell's. Smashed Gladys, Falafel, Mafia, and Kill City are at Webster Hall. And Super Snaz, Triple Forbidden Taboo, and Cloud William will be at Continental. On Monday, October 11th, Motorhead Bug, Sulfur, and Swing are at the Grand. The Off Track Band is at the Dublin Pub. The Program will be at the Paris Cafe. Living Color and Candlebox are at the Academy. And Ditch Croaker, Engine No. 9, and Ghost Shirts are at Continental. On Tuesday, October 12th, Kathy Krager is at Molly Bloom's in Smithtown. Iggy Pop and Cop Shoot Cop will be at the Academy. Stonewall is at the Timepiece Cafe. Three Men and a Dentist are at Mother McGee's. The Gods, The Jackals, Distant Cousins, and Common Sense are at the Lone Star Roadhouse. Four Sticks and Voodoo Child are at the Rock and Roll Cafe. Sex Bombs, Torn and Frayed, Black Carnation, and Atom Bomb will be at Continental. The Suspects, Spring Wheel, and Christian and the Dickens are at the New Music Cafe. And Reveals, Astro Zombies, Little Shining Men, Zen Gorilla, Tidal Waves, and Leonard's are at CBGB's. On Wednesday, October 13th, Dystopia, Purple Bee Jesus, and Tripping Face are at the Roxy. Big Dogs That Talk and Squashed Possum are at the Brokerage. The Blue Scoobies will be at Avalon. The Laurels, Speed the Plow, and Blood Oranges will be at the Knitting Factory. The Ventilators and Swivel Head will be at the Bitter End. Verge and the Tony Strong Band will be at the New Music Cafe. Tim Finn, Matt Keating, and Brother Khan will be at Wetlands. On Thursday, October 4th, Bob Mould is at Irving Plaza. Cadence is at Barnaby's. The Bossa Nova Beatniks are at the Paris Cafe. The Blue Scoobies are at the Crease. Madonna will be at Madison Square Garden. Craven Dogs, The Badleys, and Mark Berger and the Head Cleaners are at the Lone Star Roadhouse. Radix, Orgy for One, and Clowns for Progress are at Continental. And Dead Ringers, The Solar Circus, and Constantina are at Wetlands. Make your plans now for Halloween at the Academy with Merciful Fate, Flotsam and Jetsam or Cathedral, and at the Limelight with the Thrillkill Cult, or at Webster Hall with LA Guns, Karen Black, Degeneration, and Lunatics. For more information, call WUSB at 516-632-6901 or contact the venue. Concert Billboard can be heard weekdays at 3 and 9 a.m., 4:30 and 10 p.m., and on weekends at noon and midnight. You're listening to 90.1 WUSB Stony Brook.
Definitely. Yes.
Jim, can you hear me?
That's unthinkable.
Jim, your cue. Intro. Do the intro, please. The intro.
I don't believe that's a good idea.
It's the beginning of the show. It's a good idea, believe me. Come on, intro, please.
Welcome to Brain Damage with Eric Corley. Tonight, Eric's very special guest is...
Am I the only one that doesn't think that's funny? I don't know who the special guest is. There seems to be a problem again, so we're just going to try and ignore it. This is Brain Damage, and Spiny's here. So you weren't here last week, were you?
No, I wasn't.
Let's speak into the mic. Make it as distorted as possible. Go ahead.
Okay. These,
the sound that's in these days.
It is. It's grunge.
Yeah, grunge. The grunge distortion.
Why are you doing this to me?
Well, I think you're doing this to yourself, Spiny.
No. All right, yeah, I could keep my mouth
shot. Oh, you're famous. Long hair.
Hmm.
Wow.
Good thing. Tis a good thing.
I like
thing.
It better when it's slow, you know? So, you have an exciting week?
Sure.
Yeah. You're not going to elaborate any more than that, are you?
No, it's kind of personal.
You know, you really sound terrible.
Is it the mic or me?
No, it's you. Well, I mean, be honest.
Okay.
You always have this kind of distorted sound. Actually, I have sort of like a hollow sound right now. Why do I have a hollow sound?
Jalapeno.
I don't know. Strange things going on. We never know what's going on. We're always the last ones to find out, but, well, you know how it is. And, of course, Jim is here as well.
I agree completely.
Yeah.
He sounds good.
Well, you know, he does. He does. I should point out at this point, yeah, it sounds real good. I should point out at this point that, yeah, we're off to a flying start here, aren't we? We've been getting, our fourth week on the air? Our fourth week back on the air with the whole brain damage shindig, I guess is what you call it. And the theme is skipping. Thank you. And we've gotten a lot of letters concerning Jim. And I have to say, Jim, that they're not exactly...
Yeah.
If you let me finish, please. They're not exactly singing your praises, you know. It's... well, basically, I'm not quite sure if I can explain this in a...
Give it a shot.
You know, this sounds really, really bad.
Who, me?
No, the theme. Yeah. Sounds very sick.
Did you clean it before putting it in?
Oh, there we go. There we go. Back up to normal. Back beyond normal, I think. No, we've been getting some, I guess, perturbed listeners writing in saying, you know, what's the deal with this guy anyway? He never seems to say anything on his own. He never seems to... watch it, will you? He never seems to have a mind of his own. Never seems to really... You know, the theme is very distracting. Thank you.
Thank you.
It's nice to be able to deal with things. Too bad you can't deal with people that easily, you know? You know, you bother me, and then they're gone. Well, I guess some of us have that ability. But in any event, all good things come to those who wait. The fact of the matter is, people are writing in to say that, I don't know, I guess, it's hard to say Jim doesn't have a personality, but that's what people are saying.
Yes and no.
Yeah, well, you see, it's exactly... Okay, I'm glad you said that, because that's exactly what people are you know, calling, writing in about, is the fact that, you know, you sit here week after week, Jim, and you really kind of, like, say the same, you know, predictable things.
I see what you mean.
Yeah. Well, you see, that's another one. They're all kind of, like, you know, catchphrases, things that, you know, might as well be written on a piece of paper and aren't, like, really there in the flesh, you understand? It's like...
Yep.
Yeah. It's... to the person listening, okay, we have to look at this from the listener's point of view. We are always trying to look at it from the listener's point of view. And from their perspective, it could seem as if, you know, you weren't really taking part in the conversation.
I'm not sure.
Well, look, let me try and explain this. It's almost as if you're not really here. You see, it's almost as if someone actually went to the trouble of putting you on tape and just, you know, went around playing your voice over and over again. And I just, you know, I can see you look a little bit shocked at that, but the thing is, that's what people might think. And I don't think that, you know, the way we're going about doing this, and, you know, I mean this with all, you know, due respect and all that.
That's right.
Yeah, of course, I know my place. But... I don't know. It seems to me that some people might think something. And, you know, you and I both know that it's, you know, it's not really true. I mean, as far as you come in here every week, you do the program, you work very hard. You work harder than I do, in fact. It's just in the presentation, it's in the way it sounds over the radio that it sounds as if, you know, you're, I don't know, a bit staged, a bit, you know, non-existent almost, you know, a bit,
Oh, well, I mean, of course, I'm not, I'm amazed. I'm real sorry that people have that impression. I mean, I'm definitely very much a part of what's going on as it's going on.
Okay.
There is no such thing as a brain damage program where a person on the program is not saying what they're saying
right.
as the program is unfolding. I mean, that's absolutely, absolutely the case that I am here when I'm here. I am here now.
I see you.
No. We don't plan things so that everything is in the can beforehand. Right. And, When you're talking to me, I'm talking right back to you.
Right.
Believe me.
Right. Well, yeah, I mean, you know, it's easy to say that now. And, you know, I think that now that you've actually stepped up and said something a little more than, you know, yes and no, people might actually believe that you're a part of things. What I'm trying to say, Jim, you know, all due respect, is that you're a valued part of this program. And I just think you should, you know, play the part a little more. People do have doubts. And I think in this particular case, they were kind of, you know, well-founded doubts.
Yeah, but don't you see, I mean, I'm responding to you as you're responding to me. I've heard what you've said. I understand what you've said. I'm aware of the train of thought that's been taking place.
I mean, I'm
sorry if people have an impression otherwise, but you, I really want to assure everybody that I have been following what's been happening all along, and I absolutely. Want to emphasize that what's taking place, what I am saying now, I am saying as events are unfolding on the program right now.
There's
no question about it.
Right,
Believe me. This is as it is happening.
As it is happening. Exactly.
It is happening.
We get the idea. I guess, you know, in a way, maybe I'm being a little bit too hard here, but... what you're basically saying is that, you know, I get what I ask for. You know, you talk back to me as I talk to you, and maybe I'm not giving you the opportunity to really expand upon your thoughts, you know, and maybe that's something that... Yeah, exactly. Like, you know, I sort of give you these things to, you know, and that's funny. Yeah, very funny. It's only our fourth week. We have a ways to go. We obviously have to learn a few things ourselves. We have to sort of, you know, get the people in sync and you know, get our characterizations in order, get our personality flaws. You know, you're not the only person that has personality flaws. Obviously, I've got personality flaws as well. Spiny here, you've got multiple personality flaws. I don't mean you don't have more personality flaws than the rest of us. I mean, you have more personalities, and each of those personalities in turn has flaws. So... You have multiple personality flaws. You understand my drift there?
I guess.
I mean, I don't want to make a big deal out of this, but I think Jim had a good point. Jim, you know, he has definitely a good point as far as, you know, we need to have more back and forth, more give and take.
I guess so.
Yeah. Now, don't you start. Don't you start, because...
Definitely not.
Well, you're making me feel like I'm a computer operator here, and I'm not. This is a living, breathing show, and I'm not on tape. I'm here live. So our listeners are on tape, though. And if you're on tape and you want to call us, you can call us at 632-6901. The program is Brain Damage. We take phone calls. We have people here in the studio doing all kinds of things. We have a news department that's building its way up from below the ground. And getting better every week, you know. We're bringing you late-breaking stories before they even break. In fact, we've been accused of... I don't need to get into that, I guess. That'll save...
Certainly not.
Yeah. Yell through over there. I mean, that's, you know, that's... Real funny. Real funny there, Spiny. But I think the time for humor is just about up. All right. It's Brain Damage. It's 12:21. Spiny, what did you do this week? Anything? I asked you this already, and you gave me sort of a
brushed you off.
Question. Yeah, you did brush me off. I don't think I've forgotten that.
I gotta take these off. I can't. There's like a time lag with these headphones on.
Oh, really? Mm-hmm. You're hearing me a second after I say something.
And me a second after I say something.
That must
again
be fun.
And again and again.
That must be fun. That must be real fun.
No, it's not.
Well, okay. The point
I will take.
Well, I guess I've made all the points I want to make. You know. Basically, we should probably move on to the show. I mean, you have no trouble with that, right, Jim?
Oh, well, I mean, of course, I'm not,
Jim.
I'm amazed. I'm real sorry that people have that impression. I mean,
we're
very much a part of what's going on.
We're beyond
what's going on.
Good Lord.
There is no such thing as a brain damage program where a person on the program...
Jim.
is not...
He's in space. Look at him.
Saying what they're saying...
Sim!
As the program is unfolding. I mean, that's absolutely... Absolutely the case that I am here.
Engineer, can
when
we have,
I'm here,
can we have some fast-paced music?
Here I am. I'm here now.
Fast-paced music.
No,
we need
no,
to get
no,
us out
no,
of here,
no.
Please.
We don't plan things so that everything is in a can beforehand. And oh no, no. When you're talking to me, I'm talking right back to you. Believe me. I'm aware of the train of thought that's been taking place. I'm sorry if people have an impression otherwise, but I really want to assure everybody that I have been following what's been happening all along, and I absolutely want to emphasize that.
Okay, that's you got your Deep Purple there with title track from Burn. And did we just pull the plug on that room? I hope. Good. He's not. I can see him talking in there, but he's not coming through. That's good. That's the way I like it.
It's a good thing.
It's a very good thing. Very good thing. It's Brain Damage. We're trying to get it together. You know, one day we should try organizing this program before it goes on the air. You know, unlike all the other programs here, we do all our paperwork and we do all the, filling out of forms and piling records and that kind of thing. All the kinks are gotten out of the show live on the show, and that's something.
The kinks?
No. Yeah. Right. You being a psychedelic DJ, I guess that would make some sense to you. But we're working on getting better. You have something from the newspaper there, I believe.
You want to go into that right away?
I don't know. You look like you're very interested in it. I've got some things here. We have some callers that are waiting, so I would like to get to these patient people.
Sure, I get to
the
call.
Won't be too patient by the time we get to them. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's take some calls, and as soon as we get a call that I don't like,
we'll bounce
for whatever reason, we'll just go back to here. How's that? Okay, so those people out there that are ringing now, if you're, nice, interesting people, hey, we'll get along. There won't be a problem. If, these people aren't interesting, if they're, kind of either dull or boring or obnoxious or what have you, any number of possibilities can exist here, then we'll simply revert to another part of the program, which is our, backup live studio person,
Thingy.
Yeah, exactly. We have all kinds of things on the burners here. Pick a number from 1 to 5.
4.
Well, that's where we'll go then. Good evening. You're caller number 4.
Yeah, who's the DJ tonight?
I'm not really a DJ. Oh. I'm a moderator, kind of like,
Eric Corley, you back?
What about it?
Oh my God.
Yes, I'm back. Exactly.
I haven't talked to you in a long time, man.
Well, it's been a while. How long has it been?
Oh, about a year and a half now.
A year and a half is too long, if you ask me, because in a year and a half you can totally forget who somebody is.
Wow. Well, anyway, you still working on 2600 Magazine?
Yes, the old Hacker Quarterly there. In fact, you'll be pleased to know we just put out the autumn issue.
Oh, really?
Just got dropped in the postal system yesterday.
Oh, wow. My friend should be getting it, too.
Right now, it's being distributed and read by postal employees and lost in various little corners of buildings. It's incredible, I mean, I don't know if any people out there put out zines or publications of any sort, but you'll be amazed at what the post office can do. I mean, you'll send something to somebody and they'll get it. They'll get the envelope, but they won't get what's inside the envelope. They'll just get the envelope.
But now, your alias happened to be Emmanuel Goldstein.
Yes. I've used that amongst many other names.
Oh, okay. Me and my friend had an argument about that one once.
Really?
Yeah.
Nothing too violent, I hope.
No. He was like, no,
it's
Emmanuel Goldstein.
No, I don't like when people argue over me. I mean, it's just you can usually settle any dispute involving me.
Mm-hmm.
Usually.
What else was I going to say? I don't remember. Oh, you still doing that show Off the Hook?
Yeah, yeah, off the hook on that other radio station.
I wonder what that other radio station would be.
Well, you know, you'd have to do a bit of work to find out, but I'm sure our listeners are capable of doing it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, but yeah, that's, you know, everybody has different things going on. And, of course, I've also got that, you know, government post that I was offered several weeks ago, which I think I'm going to take. And also jury duty. There's the jury duty with the World Trade Center case. They were very angry with me for talking about it on the air a couple of weeks ago, but they said, you know, I can probably work my way in as an alternate. So if there's anybody out there that has any suggestions as to how I should vote or you know, what I should say in this World Trade Center trial as a juror.
Work for the government? I mean, the big enemy there?
Yeah, I worked for the big enemy. I worked for, well, you know, I did work for the Soviets, and this kind of upsets me because, you know, I had like a 5-year contract with them, and guess, you know, I signed it 2 years ago. Now, who would think, you know, who would think that a huge country, the second superpower in the world, would go out of business? But they did. Lost a fortune on that.
Mm.
Lost a fortune on that. So, it's a dangerous occupation when you wear many hats.
Yeah. You doing teleconference tonight?
We haven't done teleconferencing in a long time.
Exactly, that's why you should do it again.
Yeah, there's been some technical blunders and foul-ups and things like that, but we'll work on something. We don't know exactly what yet, but we'll work on something. Something on you. I mean, something unheard of on you. That's a good one. You know, something different.
Blunders.
Yeah. So where exactly are you calling from? Not exactly, but where are you calling from?
Shirley.
Shirley?
Yeah.
Wow. Signal comes in okay out there?
Yeah. Well, I'm waiting for you guys to put up the new tower. But.
Yeah, well, once that tower gets up, and, you know, the only thing we're waiting for is for the town of Brookhaven to, you know, to issue the permit to put the tower up. It's most of it is there. If you drive by Bald Hill, you'll see a new tower is up there. But the part that we're going on is still on the ground. And obviously, if it's on the ground, it's not going to do us much good. So they have to lift that up and put it on top of the tower. But to do that, they need a permit, and that's what we're waiting for. And that's it.
How long is that going to take?
Well, it depends. Have you ever seen town politics in action?
No,
or in action?
Probably going too slow to notice.
Yeah, it's, you know, snail's pace is a bit of an exaggeration in the other direction.
Mm.
But, you know, we're patient people. We're patient, and our listeners are patient people. But, you know, we're hoping they get on the case.
I have another question.
Yeah.
How do you get a hacked account on the net?
How do you get a hacked account on the net?
Yeah, because my friend managed to do it.
I mean, how do you hitch a ride onto the internet is what you're trying to ask.
Yeah.
Gosh, well, you know, I mean, there's people out there that will tell you.
I know.
Hey, I haven't finished my sentence yet. There's people out there that will tell you that such action is criminal, is worthy of being thrown into prison.
Oh, yeah.
People are thrown into prison for just wanting to get onto the network and see what it's like. I mean, imagine just turning on your TV set and turning to a channel to see what that's like and being thrown into... Actually, wait a minute, that does happen, doesn't it? If you decode a signal that goes into your house and you're not allowed to decode it, you can be arrested for that. Yeah, the 90s are a weird time. But to answer the question without giving any kind of moral philosophy, there are a number of ways you can do it. You can either know somebody that has a legitimate account, you can figure out people's passwords because they're encrypted in a certain way, but you can ask the decrypted password if this particular word matches, and it will say yes or no. Now imagine doing that say 100 times a second, and you go through say a dictionary or something like that.
Yeah.
It's not difficult to do that. The password file is easily accessible, and it's not illegal to obtain. However, once you do log in as somebody else, that's where you start getting into murky territory.
Yeah.
But it's well worth experimenting in some way. Just, you know, if you're going to experiment, just make sure that you respect the network and that, you know, you don't destroy anything, don't be malicious, don't, you know.
Don't, oh, yeah, of course, but...
You know how people act on the air here. Don't be like that.
Yeah.
That's basically it.
Another question, though.
Yeah.
How do I go about getting a 6.5 megahertz crystal?
Ah, 6.5 megahertz crystal. Well, you know...
Build a black box.
Yeah, you know, there are all kinds of people. There are all kinds of people that sell those things. And, in fact, if you look in the back of 2600 magazine, you'll see all kinds of advertisements for that.
You serious?
Yeah, what you could do, and this is a suggestion, what you could do is call our voice bulletin board system and post a message asking people, and I'm sure you'll get lots of replies.
Oh, that's not bad.
Yeah. Do you have the number for that?
What's that?
You have the number for that?
It's 632-3500, right?
No. I don't know where you got that number. Where is it? 632-3500. No.
That's the audio line, isn't it?
No, that's something else completely. I think that's somebody's room. No, this is for the 2600 voicemail system. I don't know. He's probably hacked into another account. you need AT&T as your long-distance company.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Do you have AT&T as your long-distance company?
It's an 0700 number.
Yeah, it's an 0700 easy reach number.
Yeah.
And it's 15 cents a minute. But if you don't have AT&T, you dial 10288 and follow that with the number you would dial if you did have AT&T, which is 0700-751-2600. And it should go right through.
Oh, I see.
And then you'll be on the board and you can talk to hackers all over the world who have all kinds of neat questions and answers.
But how do you, my friend, he went out to D.C., and do you guys send out your 2600 to, like, bookstores and stuff?
Yeah. Yeah, well, what we have is we have distributors, and they send it to bookstores and other places. We don't really know where they send it.
Yeah, because it's really hard to find out here on Long Island.
Yeah, it's hard to find. You might find it in computer stores beginning with this issue, because we just struck up a deal with some computer stores. So you might see it there. The important thing is to keep asking. If people ask, then they'll start asking their distributors, and their distributors will call us, and then we'll be able to send it out to them, and everybody will be happy.
Yeah.
Yeah, maybe.
All right. Well, yeah, because I asked Radio Shack about that 6.5 megahertz crystal, and they're like, what do you need it for?
I'm yeah, Radio Shack is like, you know, I don't know. They're like the, what's a good analogy here?
Goody-goody?
No, I was thinking more like Stalinist or something, where they need to know every aspect of your life, and they need to know what you're doing with this, and do you have a permit for this particular chip, and do you know what the implications of this particular action are, and where do you live, and what's your phone number? I mean, come on. You know, you should be able to walk into a store and buy something.
What, is it illegal to have that crystal?
They want to, like, make money?
Well, you know, it's funny. That crystal can be used to fool phone companies into thinking you put a quarter into a phone.
Oh, that's what I want it for.
Well, you know, you don't want to say that, especially on a radio station that reaches millions of people like we do. But it's something that is used for experimentation, and the fact of the matter is, it's the chip. And it's what you do with the chip that's the crime, not owning the chip or asking for the chip.
Yeah.
So why is Radio Shack giving you a hard time?
There are legal uses for that chip, though.
Yeah, I mean, there's all kinds of uses for any chip. You know, it's like any kind of tool. You can use any kind of tool to break and enter, to do something illegal. But you can also use it for other things as well.
Yeah, but it's hard to find that tone dialer, though. That one got, discontinued?
The Radio Shack tone dialer, yeah. I think it did get discontinued. I heard a rumor that they've ceased production on it.
Yeah, so there's only, like, few in existence. My friend has one, but it's all messed up. He's got to fix it.
Yeah, well, you know, it's a weird kind of a thing. Those tone dialers were perfect for particular uses that they didn't really mean them to be used for. So, yeah, they're kind of embarrassed about that, and they are pulling them back. But there's always something to replace those things.
Yeah,
and if you read the magazine, you'll find all kinds of possibilities.
Yeah, because my friend has the spring issue, I think it is.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to look in the back of that one.
Well, the summer issue has a new schematic for something different.
Oh, really?
Yeah. That you probably find quite
interesting. Well, yeah, that's the one he has, the summer issue. Yeah, because that's what he was looking at, that one.
Now, I should point out, the autumn issue has the traditional corrections to the schematics that we printed in the last... Every time we print schematics, we have to make corrections to them because something gets fouled up somewhere.
Yeah.
And in this particular case, something was connected to something that will cause a major explosion if you do it wrong. No, only kidding. But, you gotta be, you know, careful with electronics.
Yeah.
You gotta be careful.
Well, I don't think a little handheld battery-powered tone dialer could explode too easily.
Unless
you hook like a bomb up to it or something.
Yeah, I mean, if you hook the bomb onto it, then it would explode, you see. So anything can explode.
Put a little ammonium nitrate on it? Wow.
Sounds like you're getting very specific there. Okay, is there anything else you wanted to add to your little discourse there?
No, I think you should just, like, start the teleconference up again.
Well, I guess we can consider it.
I'll call back later.
Yeah, call back later. We'll see what we can do. These phones are kind of weird, though. They put in some programming changes. It might not be as easy as it once was.
All right, well,
okay, thanks for calling.
No problem.
All right. That's a good number you picked. You picked 4.
Nice man.
Yeah, nice man.
Very intellectual.
Yeah, a lot of interesting things to say.
Good points. Points, as my dad would say.
We have a feature here related to this, in fact, as far as things scientific and...
programmer?
I'm sorry?
Would that be Ask the Program Director?
No. And you're not supposed to give things like that away.
Why not?
Because I told you to. Outside in the hallway before. Don't you remember that 3-minute lecture?
That was about that?
That was about that, yes. That was about that. Now there's going to have to be another one. All right, while I'm giving Spiny a lecture over there, we have this feature that just came in, and we'll come right back after it. For all you technically minded people, this is for you.
It's time once again to Ask Dr. Science. So let's ask Dr. Science.
That's me.
Remember, he knows more than you do.
That's right.
Now here's a potpourri of easy answers to easy questions. First from Paul Saunders, who writes from the University of Alabama. Dear Dr. Science, I learned from your program that the speed of light is 186,000 miles per second. What is the speed of dark?
Since dark is broken light, it doesn't have any speed at all. It just sort of sits around the house until we can find the switch.
Next from William Kane in Boulder, Colorado. Dear Dr. Science, are cyclotrons good for making popcorn?
No, but they make a great chocolate shake.
Laura Hansen from Iowa City writes, Dear Dr. Science, do you have to patent a cow before you can have patent leather?
Merely copywriting the cow is enough. Simply mail the cow to yourself in a self-addressed stamped envelope. When the cow arrives, don't open it. This is legally binding in most states.
Finally, from Kim, John, Minga, and Don from Swan Lake, Montana, how come I can't look at the sun without sneezing?
You're probably allergic to photons. Consult a physician or a physicist immediately, and let me know how you're doing. Dr. Science cares.
Thank you, Dr. Science. Send your science questions to Ask Dr. Science. Remember, he's not a real doctor.
I have a master's degree
in science.
What I have to tell you this evening will not be an easy task, but I'll try to explain. You know, being a noted personality involves a great deal of responsibility. A responsibility to maintain a career in which the slightest error can... A responsibility to nurture new ideas which may someday grow into a useful source of entertainment for the masses. During this time, however, it is of the utmost importance to keep in mind those individuals who are nearest and dearest to the heart of the matter of which I speak. The true and crucial decision makers. You. The fans. Yes, as a rule, it is ultimately in the hands of those who wish to be entertained, informed, or enlightened as to who will pass or fail. Who will draw the line between the immortal and the one-hit wonders. Yes, friends, for years I have been plagued with the uncertainty of not knowing my destiny as a public figure, be it in my lifetime or later on, which brings me to the point of all of this. I am dead. Yes, you heard me correctly. At this moment, you are hearing the voice of one who has passed into a dimension in which my art has no value. It seems certain to me at this point that I will have no continuing interest in my worldly pursuits. But since I am alive as I record this, I realize that I cannot bear the thought of being powerless in relation to my former career. I simply cannot stand the thought of my adversaries snickering to themselves and to each other as they are granted the privilege of having the last word on what I've worked so hard to achieve. Because of this, I have prepared this tape. Now, I was killed in a plane crash. How do I know this? Well, actually, I've created a library of tapes to play in case of accidental death, each one tailored to a specific cause. Now, plane crashes have always been kind of a scary thing for me to think about. Just imagine my horror as I sat strapped to my seat, observing the last cruel moments of the passengers' meager, if not average, lives flashing before their eyes. Trays, suitcases, and miscellaneous blunt objects tumbling about, knocking them unconscious. Shards of broken glass lacerating the faces and eyes of innocent children, and Mommy and Daddy can do nothing to help this time. The sick feeling of realization, the overwhelming shock of knowing how quickly the ground approaches. You know, I formed the Morabund Music Foundation in 1983, and 70s nostalgia was and is my idea. What about the 70s Preservation Society, you ask? Look, I don't even know what copycat came up with that one, and I don't really care, but I will say this to him. You were not first, so start telling those Never Be Nothing fans of yours who think you're so hip that you failed. I'm to try these names on for size. Minnie Ripperton, Van McCoy, Judge Strunk. Those names ring a bell, boys. How about the great Jim Croce? Well, they're with me now, and you're not. Wouldn't you guys like to know what's on the other side? Looks like I beat you again. Anyway, as I wrap up, just remember my ending. It was violent, and I'm more the wiser for it. Negative Land is the beneficiary named on my $100,000 flight insurance policy. My will specifies that these funds are to be used for the exciting new multimedia format you're about to witness here this evening. It will be a thought-provoking tribute and a memorial to me and to my career. Now, despite my past lack of acclaim, tonight will prove who is, was, and will always be one step ahead of the game. Yours truly, the one and only.
Yes, from a bootleg CD. Welcome to the 90s. Yeah, the bootleg CD here. That is Negative Land from a live performance with Dick Vaughn Speaks. Any Negative Land fans out there? Are you Negative Land fans, Lenny?
Oh, yeah.
Oh, good. Okay.
Yummy.
How many time zones are there in the Soviet Union?
11.
All right. Okay. That's good. That's good. I'm glad you know that. I would have made life awfully difficult for you if you got that wrong. And Christianity is X.
Stupid.
Very good. Okay. Christianity is stupid. That is correct. All right, and before that, we heard Duck's Breath Mystery Theater with Ask Dr. Science. Yeah. And we're going to have the news coming up in just a minute or so, but I wanted to get into some reading material here, some rather important reading material, some things that are, I don't know, maybe they've changed over the years, maybe they haven't. And this is something that I was hoping I would have a dramatic theme for. I don't know where our studio engineer is for this particular... that's good. A bit loud, though. I couldn't really hear me. Right down there. Yeah, that's much better. Okay, we have to really go over this program. Those hand signals, they mean something, you know. They... Okay. We have a book here that was published back in... It was actually published in 1922, but it was really published in 1906. It was updated in 1922. It's called Psychopathia Sexualis.
Ooh,
yeah.
It sounds good.
It is good. It is good. With a special, that's a cool word. ESPECIAL. Did you hear that word before?
A special.
You know, I've got a dictionary here. I'm going to look this up. A special. I'm not even sure if I'm pronouncing it correctly.
Is this a English publication? So that might be British English?
It was published in Brooklyn.
Yeah. So Lord knows what it is.
A special is an adjective. It means special. Okay. that's why we have to update the language occasionally, because people waste words like that. With a special reference, it's not a special, it's e-special, e-special, whatever. A special reference to the antipathic sexual instinct, a medical forensic study by... Dr. R. B. Kraft Ebing from the University of Vienna. This, by the way, is the only authorized English adaptation of the 12th German edition. Okay, what kind of subject should we get into here? They cover just about everything. I'll give you some titles. Fragments of a System of Psychology of Sexual Life. Physiological facts, anthropological facts, general pathology, special pathology, pathological sexual life before the criminal form. Any particular sadism in women?
Yeah.
Maltreatment and humiliation invited for the purpose of sexual gratification. There's a masturbation section which I think is particularly
near to your heart,
pertinent here. Yeah. Well, no, I wouldn't say that, but. It's not really main. You know what? There's an index in the back. That's what I'll do.
Masturbation, index. Sex with someone you love.
Well, yeah, that's Woody Allen for you. But there's all kinds of case studies here, case histories and things like that.
Girl stabbing.
Girl stabbing. Go for it.
Let's go for that. 108. Page 108 here. Oh, nothing like the smell of a musty old book.
About girl stabbing.
Well, yeah, I guess. Okay. Here we go. This is case number 27. The girl stabber of Bozen. In 1829, H, and I'm afraid that's the only name we can give you. H, age 30, soldier, became the subject of legal investigation. At different times and in different places, he had wounded girls with pocket knives or pen knives by stabbing them in the abdomen, preferably in the genitals. He gave as a motive for these acts heightened sexual impulse, increasing to the intensity of fury, which found satisfaction only in the thought and act of stabbing persons of the female sex. The impulse would pursue him for days at a time. He would then pass into a confused mental state, which would clear away only when the impulse had been satisfied by the deed. In the act of stabbing, he experienced the same satisfaction as that produced by completed sex. Yeah, this was increased by the sight of blood dripping from the knife. In his 10th year, the sexual instinct became powerfully manifest. At first, he yielded to masturbation and felt physically and mentally weakened by it. Before he became a girl stabber, he had satisfied his sexual lust in violation of immature girls by causing them to practice masturbation on him and by sodomy. Gradually, the thought came to him how pleasurable it would be to stab a young and pretty girl in the genitals and take delight in the sight of the blood running from the knife. Among his effects were found copies of the objects of phallic cult and obscene pictures painted by himself of Mary's conception and of the thought of God injected into the lap of the Virgin. He was considered a peculiar, very irritable man, shy of people, fond of women, moody, and glum. Of shame and regret for his deeds, no traces were ever found. You know, that's the kind of sentence you just couldn't have today, where they sort of do it backwards like that. Of shame and regret for his deeds, no traces were ever found. He was apparently a person who had become impotent through early sexual excesses. A warning to those of you out there. Early sexual excesses. And was thus predisposed by the continuance of intense libido, sexualis, and heredity to perversion of sexual life. Sobering. Sobering how such things can get out of control. Now, I was looking for the masturbation section here. I'd like to go to consequences of on page 286.
Blindness.
Well, I'm not sure about that. Let's see. We have... interesting. Okay. Where do we actually... It goes into perverse sexual acts.
Why?
Well, I'm trying to...
Not under hobbies?
Okay. Very frequently, the cause of temporary aberration is masturbation, and its results in youthful individuals. Nothing is... Please, people, please. If you don't listen to anything else tonight, listen to this. This is important. Nothing is so prone to contaminate, under certain circumstances, even to exhaust, the source of all noble and ideal sentiments which arise of themselves from a normally developing sexual instinct as the practice of masturbation in early years. Nothing is so prone to contaminate as that. It despoils the unfolding bud of perfume and beauty and leaves behind only the coarse animal desire for sexual satisfaction. If an individual thus depraved reaches the age of maturity, there is wanting in him that aesthetic, ideal, pure and free impulse which draws the opposite sexes together. The glow of sensual sensibility wanes, and
the inclination toward the opposite sex is weakened. This defect influences the morals, the character, fancy, feeling, and instinct of the youthful masturbator, male or female, in an unfavorable manner, even causing, under certain circumstances, the desire for the opposite sex to sink to nil, so that masturbation is preferred to the natural mode of satisfaction. Sometimes the development of the nobler sexual feelings toward the opposite sex suffers on account of hypochondriacal fear of infection in sexual intercourse, or on account of an actual infection, or as a result of a faulty education, which points out such dangers and exaggerates them. Again, especially in females, fear of the result of coitus, or in parentheses, pregnancy, or abhorrence of men by reason of physical or moral defects may direct into perverse channels and instinct, which makes itself felt with abnormal intensity. On the other hand, premature and perverse sexual satisfaction injures not merely the mind, but also the body, inasmuch as it induces neuroses of the sexual apparatus, in parentheses, irritable weakness of the centers governing erection and ejaculation, defective pleasurable feeling in coitus, etc., close parentheses, while at the same time it maintains imagination and libido in continuous excitement. Almost every masturbator at last reaches a point where, frightened on learning the results of the vice or on experiencing them, and it's called neurasthenia. Neurasthenia is the act of experiencing these results. Or, led by example or seduction to the opposite sex, he wishes to free himself of the vice and reinstate his vita sexualis. The moral and mental conditions are here the most unfavorable possible. The pure glow of sexual feeling is destroyed. The fire of sexual instinct is wanting, and self-confidence is lost, for every masturbator is more or less timid and cowardly. If the youthful sinner at last comes to make an attempt at coitus, he is either disappointed because enjoyment is wanting on account of defective sensual feeling, or he is lacking in the physical strength necessary to accomplish the act. This fiasco has a fatal effect and leads to absolute psychical impotence. A bad conscience and the memory of past failures prevent success in any further attempts. The ever-present libido sexualis, however, demands satisfaction, and this moral and mental perversion separates further and further from woman, singular woman. For various reasons, however, neurasthenic complaints, hypochondriacal fear of results, etc., the individual is also kept from masturbation. At times, under such circumstances, bestiality is resorted to. Intercourse with the same sex is then near at hand as the result of seduction or of the feelings of friendship, which, on the level of pathological sexuality, easily associate themselves with sexual feelings. Passive and mutual onanism now become the equivalent of the avoided act. If there is a seducer, which unfortunately often happens, then the cultivated pederast is produced, i.e., a man who performs quasi-acts of onanism with persons of his own sex, and at the same time feels and prefers himself in an active role corresponding with his real sex, who is mentally indifferent not only to persons of the opposite sex, but also to those of his own. Sexual aberration reaches this degree in the normally constituted, untainted, mentally healthy individual. No case has yet been demonstrated in which perversity has been transformed into perversion, i.e., into an inversion of the sexual instinct. With tainted individuals, the matter is quite different. The latent perverse sexuality is developed under the influence of neurasthenia induced by masturbation, abstinence, or otherwise. end gradually. In contact with persons of the same sex, sexual excitation by them is induced. Related ideas are colored with lustful feelings and awaken corresponding desires. This decidedly degenerate reaction is the beginning of a process of physical and mental transformation, a description of which is attempted in this book, and which is one of the most interesting psychological phenomena that have been observed. This metamorphosis presents different stages or degrees. Boy, you know, it just keeps going on and on. There's over 500 pages of this. Swanny, you look thoughtful there. I hope you learned something.
How interesting.
I must say you do read well, though. Well, I mean, this is something that I think everybody should look at.
But don't you think it's a bit outdated? I mean, it was
It came out in the 1920s, but still, you know, there's a lot here that is pertinent today.
The 1920s of Germany, mind you.
You just don't get it, do you? Morality does not...
Obviously, I don't get it.
It does not stop in a country or a decade. It is with us all the time. Here's a very short one-paragraph case.
Is this applicable to me? Is that what you're trying to say?
Of course it is. It's applicable to anybody that's listening.
All right.
I get the sense that you're doubting the things you're hearing here. I don't know why I have this book, to be honest. I found this in my library. I don't know where it came from. Someone must have slipped it in there, some sort of suggestion or something. But this is case 213. And this is the case of G, age 33, badly predisposed hereditarily. I'm not quite sure what that means, badly predisposed hereditarily. At an omnibus station, he was discovered in the act of frottage with his penis on a lady.
Frottage.
What? All right.
Dictionary.
The old dictionary out here.
Is there anything like teabagging?
You see, they were a lot more open about sexuality back then. They had a lot more words for it. And so they used them here. Frottage.
Quite interesting word.
It's a very nice word. I mean, I like the sound of it. Sort of.
Can you spell it out loud?
You know, it's not even in a dictionary. It's frottage. It's not even in the dictionary. So it must be like a horrible curse or something I have to set on the air. Because dictionaries never have horrible curses. But anyway, it's not one of the seven dirty words, so I can say it. He was discovered in the act of frottage. Deep repentance, but he stated that at the sight of a noticeable posteriora of a lady, he was irresistibly impelled to practice frottage, and then he became confused. He became confused and knew not what he did. Final sentence of this case, sent to an asylum. Yes. Well, we have more cases. We have lots and lots of cases here, but I digress. I don't want to spend the whole day on this, but we have plenty of material here for a rainy day. If people have particular questions about certain words that they've never heard before that they'd like us to look up, that's something we can do. All right. Within the course of another 3 minutes, we will be having the updated news with our award-winning newscaster, William Wright, who... somehow won an award for last week's newscast. I don't know how he did it that fast. We'll be back in a couple of minutes, and we'll be taking your phone calls at 632-6901. I imagine the people out there now feel a bit sobered now, having heard these words. But it's not necessary to feel guilty or sad or anything like that. The important thing is to realize that you're totally sick and you need help, and that we're here to make it better. At least I sure hope so. It's 8 minutes after 1 o'clock. And I sense kind of a calm wind blowing into the Stony Brook area. As we move into the latter part of the program, including tonight's news, preceded, of course, by the weekly scratching of the blackboard. Ooh. People ask us why we do that. It's something that some people find, you know, a little bit distasteful, painful maybe. But it gets the demons out of your radio. That's the important thing. That's all you have to remember. That gets
no question about it.
Right, no question. Gets the demons out. 9 minutes after 1 o'clock, and we have William Wright in he's tapping the microphone there in our new Brain Damage newsroom. Now, I should point out that the Brain Damage newsroom is not the normal newsroom. They won't let us in that one, but it's okay because our news is better anyway. And we have some interesting things going on in there.
Eric.
Yeah, can you hear me?
I can hear you.
I can hear some things going on in there. Perhaps you'll fill us in as to what's going on a little later on.
We are processing the news as well as some experiments.
You really mean it when you have experiments. Okay. This is great. This is cutting edge radio here. Real experiments going on. Okay.
Would you like to hear the news?
Well, since we're here, why not? Why not? Yeah. Anytime you're ready.
Our top story: a mom has vowed to kill every lion on Earth. Lions attacked and killed Marie Boyer's husband and daughter in 1988, and she's getting her revenge in a personal campaign to wipe out the creatures off the face of the Earth. Quote, I've killed 67 of them so far, and I'm not going to rest until every one of the vicious beasts has been blasted off the planet.
Wow.
The 39-year-old woman told reporters in Bordeaux, France, quote, the world would be much better off without them.
Mm-hmm.
Jim seems to approve of that, and that's something. A mother's love, yes.
In other news, an Idaho family has eaten a 600-pound Bigfoot. That's right. Wally Handor and his sons hit a Bigfoot on the way home from town several weeks ago, and they've been eating off the carcass ever since. The Idaho farmers say they thought the hairy creature was a bear after they hit it with their pickup, but times are tough, and they figured the roadkill might be good to eat. It was. Quote, it's gamey and a little hard to chew, but we don't mind. Handor 53, who skinned the 600-pound creature and carved it up for the family freezer. Quote, it's got a really good flavor, kind of Swedish.
Kind of Swedish? Like a Swedish meatball, you mean, or...?
Swedish in taste.
Oh, sweetish with a T, not a D. Okay, no, I mean...
It was sweet.
It was sweet, right, okay, that's it. Sweet. Sweden's got nothing to do with this, sorry.
And a new study has shown that lunchboxes are deadly on construction sites. That's right. Statistics have shown an average of 3 pedestrians are killed every year by lunchboxes knocked off by beams. Knocked off beams by workers eating several stories above the ground.
When are they going to stop doing that? You're really getting stuff before the networks get it, I'll say that. This is something.
We're right there on the scene, Eric.
Yeah, this is how you won that award last week. For the predictions, I think.
Also, student Chris Rolls has stayed as slender as a sprinter and as healthy as a horse, though he's eaten nothing but chocolate cookies since 1974. For the past 19 years, Cookie Crunching Chris has turned up his nose at meat, vegetables, fruit, and the other edibles that are supposed to make a fellow grow up big, strong, and healthy. Instead, 25-year-old Chris has crammed down cookies for breakfast, lunch, and dinner, always washing them down with a cup of hot tea. Eric?
Well, that's... how can I comment on something like that? That's, well, noble, I guess, but, you know, sprinters are like that.
Well.
Do you want to tell us what's going on in there? There's bubbling things, my curiosity has been piqued here.
That will not be discussed right now.
All right, fine. Who am I to question the news people here?
scientists in Frankfurt, Germany, had developed...
There's no doubt in my mind.
Quiet, Jim. I'm sorry.
Scientists in Frankfurt, Germany, had developed a new contraceptive that kills sperm by electrocuting them before they leave a man's body. The contraceptive is actually a tiny capsule that a doctor inserts into the patient's seminal ducts. Sperm are zapped to death as they pass through the capsule's galvanized element.
Surely you jest.
Eric, are you there?
Oh, yeah, I'm here, all right. I'm just kind of, How do you follow something? I hope that has something, has some effect on Frottage. That's all I care about.
Well,
we got to stamp out Frottage before before it rears its ugly head again.
So we are conducting some top secret experiments here in the newsroom.
Okay, we're going to talk about this now. Well, what was bubbling there before it...
We do have some information from our associates.
Uh-huh. What do you got?
A leading geneticist has created an astonishing new animal that is half dog and half cat. That's right. Kitty pups were developed by combining genes from dogs and cats, resulting in a creature that boasts the physical and behavioral characteristics of both.
Dog cats.
Kitty pups.
Kitty pups, whatever. I just have
more
one
experiments
question. One question, why? Why would anybody want half dog, half cat? What's the point? You get a dog with an attitude. Who wants that, you know? Didn't think of that. Wait, is that what you're doing in there? You're experimenting with kitty pups or whatever you call them?
Yes, we are.
Did you check with the general manager on this? Because last time we tried, you know, genetic experiments over there...
The general manager has no control over the newsroom.
All right, well, as long as that remains true, we don't have a problem.
That is the news.
Oh, it's all over then. Okay, you caught me kind of off guard here. Well, that's another newscast there from the Brain Damage Newsroom, and thank you very much. Oh, well.
Definitely.
Please. All right. Wow. Well, it's another fun-filled night here at the radio station. Spiny, you're still here.
Yeah, I'm taking off, though.
You're taking off. Well, that's good. I mean, it's not good. It's just...
No, it's good for you.
No, it's good to progress onwards.
Yeah.
I mentioned I brought the dictionary, and I did. I have a dictionary here, and we're prepared to look
Frottage.
Up any word that you might have, and I think we'd like to do something like that.
Merkin.
Words are great.
Words are good.
Yeah, do you know what a wildebeest is?
Yes, I do.
Proof. This is proof how much fun this can be. Fade down in there. Okay. There's all kinds of things going on.
He's got the heat on too high.
Yeah, it's very hot around here. Very hot indeed. Okay. So you know what a wildebeest is. What is a wildebeest?
It's a wild beast.
No.
Cheap
no.
shots won't go,
no,
huh?
No.
It's a member of the pig family, I think.
Okay, a wildebeest is a gnu.
Really? A female gnu?
A gnu. G-N-U.
Yeah.
Okay, do you know what a gnu is?
Yeah.
Okay, what's a gnu then?
What do you want, like subclass here, and then like the
Latinized? I want a definition.
It's an animal.
Oh, great.
I mean, what do you want? It's Gary Gnu. Remember
little,
that?
A little more.
Gary Gnu. You don't remember that?
No, I don't remember that.
Underprivileged
child. Gnu is how you pronounce it. N-O-O. It's spelled G-N-U, but it's pronounced N-O-O.
Is it possum or opossum?
Okay. A gnu, for your information, is...
Quadruped.
An antelope resembling an ox. Now, they might be saying African because it's A-F-R, period.
Yeah.
An F.
There's a way to tell.
Resembling an ox. Okay, so we have an antelope resembling an ox, which is what a gnu is, which is what a wildebeest is. Okay, so now let's just go over to antelope first to make sure that we're talking about the right thing here. And an antelope is defined as a horned ruminant related to cattle.
Ah.
A horned ruminant related to cattle. Okay, now, you may ask, what in God's name is a ruminant? And I will tell you, because I'm right now looking up in the dictionary the word ruminant. And this is a good word, because ruminant would apply to many people around this radio station. Ruminant is a cud-chewing animal. A cud-chewing animal. It also means cud-chewing or contemplative. All right,
Now, some of you may wish to know what CUD is, and I can also provide that information. CUD is swallowed food brought up for re-chewing by a ruminant. See how it all kind of
it fits.
Comes around here. Okay, and also, if we go back to the antelope definition, a horned ruminant related to cattle. I'm sure most people know what cattle is, but just so that we cover all bases, we will tell you the definition for cattle as well. Cattle is defined as bovine animals. Bovine animals. Or livestock generally. Livestock generally. So, what is a bovine animal, you might ask? Okay. A bovine animal is of the family that includes the ox, or ox-like, stolid, dull, a bovine animal. Okay, now, keep in mind that we still have to look at the other definition of the word gnu, which is, well, an African antelope resembling an ox. We haven't even explored the ox part of that yet. Okay, where was I before I got the cattle? I was at ruminant, wasn't I? See, this can get very confusing if you're not careful. A ruminant, which was a cud-chewing animal. Okay, we got the cud, we got the cattle. Anything else we have to get from antelope? Horned ruminant related to cattle, we covered that. Bovine, ox-like. Okay, so now we pursue the ox. The definition of an ox is the emasculated adult male of the domestic cattle family. Are you asleep or are you just thinking?
I'm contemplating.
Well, okay. I mean, I just think that's fascinating that we can start off with wildebeest and take this journey through bovine ruminating animals and talk about cud chewing and antelopes and oxes and you name it. And it's all because of the dictionary that we're allowed to do that. Well, it's just wonderful, isn't it? That's what it's all about.
That's
yeah.
What it's
okay, about. We're going to take some phone calls. 632-6901.
Do I get to pick a number?
Yeah, pick a number.
I was good last time, wasn't I?
Yeah, you were good last time, but let's see how good you are.
You don't think you can do it again, do you?
1 through 5.
All right. 2.
Well, you weren't too good this time because there's nobody online, too, and no, I'm afraid that did not work.
Okay.
Pick another number?
Now, is 2 open again? I mean, can I pick 2 again?
If
or?
You want to, yeah. I mean, it's up to you.
No, I don't know if it fills it in. Or.
Well, you can do this all night if you want
okay.
to.
Okay, 2.
Good evening.
Hi, I know Andrew Goldberg. My name is Maris Cohen. I'm 11 years old, and I'm writing a play on John Lennon and the Beatles. Could you give me some suggestions on my play?
Well, you're 11 years old and you're writing a play on John Lennon.
And the Beatles.
Well, that's great. Well, first of all, do you know that I think it was yesterday was John Lennon's birthday. Was it today?
No, yesterday.
Yeah, Saturday was.
Uh-huh.
Okay, so you know that. That's good. It's good that you knew that.
Is this going to be a musical?
Not really. It's going to be involved with some of the Beatles and John Lennon's music.
Wait, you're going to have some of the Beatles involved?
Well, no, I'm just going to have some of their music involved with it, like maybe play some of their songs.
You might ask George Harrison, though, because he always seems to be, you know, making cameo appearances on everything that's about the Beatles. He was just on The Simpsons last week. So, I mean, that's always a possibility. But, I mean, what kind of help do you need? There's all kinds of albums out there. There's all kinds of books.
I mean, except for saying it's about John Lennon and the Beatles, what else should it be about?
It should be about the period, the time, you know, the 60s, the early 70s, when the music was the most popular, and, you know, how things have changed between now and then. Like, perhaps what people your age were doing back then. You know, and you can find that out by going through some newspapers, looking at some music magazines, reading some books, maybe. And asking people, too. I mean, how old were your parents when all this was going on? Were they Beatle fans?
I'm not sure about my parents. I bet my father was because his side of the family came from Russia.
Uh-huh.
And well, my mom, I mean, it's like some people from her family came up from all over the place, and I don't know about them.
Uh-huh. You might ask. You know, you might find out some pretty interesting things.
Yeah, your parents may have been hippies.
Yeah, my sister, I'm not sure if she really met the Beatles in person while she was a little baby, but...
Uh-huh. Mm. Well, I mean, those shrieking teenagers of the early 1960s, you know, at the Ed Sullivan Show and all that, you know, they've grown up now. They're middle-aged women. So they're around all around. They're the cashier at the local store. They're the person that answers the phone at the insurance company. They're all kinds of people that were once, they could be anybody. So if you ask around, it might be your teacher. Your teacher may have been a Beatle fan back then. So if you ask around, I think you'll find all kinds of neat things. Also, a place you should go. You get into New York often?
Yeah, I think about 3 or 4 times I went with my father or my grandmother to either see the skaters and the Christmas tree or something like that.
Just 3 or 4 times in your whole life?
Yeah.
Okay, no, that's all right. I know, grown adults that have gone less. But it's not that far away. You might want to check out the Museum of Broadcasting because you can just look something up. You can see programs that dealt with the Beatles. You can see live appearances on various programs and things like that. It's quite interesting. There's a lot of stuff out there.
I have one more question.
Yeah.
See, the whole purpose of this play is trying to get some people back into this since this is such great music.
Uh-huh.
And I mean, it's like people think, oh, it's just old stuff. We can't hear that anymore. And, I mean, it's just too good music to be, not to be heard. So I want to ask if you have any suggestions on making people try to appreciate this.
Well, you can't make people appreciate anything. That's I know that through a lifetime of trying. But, people have to come to appreciate things on their own terms. And basically, if they won't look at it from your perspective, try looking at it from their perspective. Give them the subject matter in terms of something today. Like incorporate today into yesterday and show perhaps the similarities between young people of today and young people of yesterday. Like, you know, if a Beatle fan were transported, a young Beatle fan were transported from the 1960s to the 1990s, what might he be doing? Or vice versa, you know, what might the other person be doing? And Spiny has something to say on the matter.
I have a suggestion that might help her.
Okay.
Do you remember Beatlemania?
What year was that?
Oh, I don't know. But the band that was the...
I remember that, yeah. I remember that now.
Okay, well,
it was a Broadway show, wasn't it?
Broadway show, and there's a band that's touring Long Island as Cavern, The Cavern, and that's them. That's the band from Beatlemania. So if you see them playing, they play around in the Huntington area.
Wow.
So you might want to get
they
them.
They still play Beatle? Material?
They do the Beatle thing. They have the Sgt. Pepper's outfits and the...
How does that
that's
feel
their shtick.
To just do songs that somebody else wrote over and over again?
Well, it's a good life. You don't have to think of anything.
I guess, yeah. Well, I guess.
It's fairly easy.
It's just, I don't know.
Following someone
well,
else's
never
success?
Been, never been, oh, there's plenty of Doors groups, you know. Groups just play under the Doors and stuff.
Crystal
groups.
Ship.
Yeah, exactly.
The Machine.
So, did we help out at all?
Yeah.
What school are you with?
Oh, I just live practically around the corner from Mount School.
Uh-huh. Okay, well, I think it's great that you're actually doing this, and I hope you follow through and then come up with something. It's, you know, there's a lot of material, and it's a very interesting subject. I'm sure people will be interested in it.
Mm.
Okay, good luck.
Okay, thank you.
Thanks for calling.
Bye.
Something, 11-year-old. Up at 1:30 in the morning, writing a play about the Beatles.
Well, you do your best work at
I mean,
late hours.
When I was 11 years old, we didn't sit around at 1:30 in the morning on a Saturday writing plays. It's just, it wasn't done.
Operas?
We would have been, I don't know, ostracized in some... No, we didn't do operas either. We were more of a, kind of like an Arthur Miller type of a thing.
Mm.
You know, the depressing plays of the working class.
I guess plays are more of a frottage industry.
Yeah, I grew up with kind of a...
Cottage industry, I'm sorry.
Depressed generation. We were just sort of worried about making ends meet and things like that. Oh, well. You're 2 for 2 so far. You want to pick another number?
Oh, yeah.
I'm good at picking the numbers, I'll say that.
Okay. This is my last one because I'm out of here.
Okay.
Because your show sounds better than my
shouldn't,
car.
Shouldn't move the microphone around like that, you know.
Yes.
And
that's the last time I'm taking criticism from him.
On your way out, would you please do something? I mean, we pulled the plug, but somehow it got put back in, and I don't really know how that happened.
He critiques me every minute.
He does what?
Critiques.
Oh. This is something else that comes from this book.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay, let's see. One.
Huh?
One. Oh, I'm sorry, I lost track of what this was all about. One, okay. Well, this person's probably been waiting now for 6 hours, so I guess that's fair. Good evening.
Oh, hello.
How you doing?
Wow.
Wow, yeah, it feels good, doesn't it? Sort of like the end of a journey.
Yes.
It's like riding a train, but never knowing when you're getting closer. You just could arrive at any...
Slipped and said, welcome to brain damage.
Uh-huh.
I was laughing.
Well, I said, welcome to brain, I think.
Yeah, yeah, got it all.
Yeah, that was a bit of fun there. Bit of fun. But,
yeah, that's the guy, the first caller was my friend.
Uh-huh.
And well, I've been on the internet, and, you know, I think that anybody that hasn't been on is really missing out, and I think it should be a lot easier to get access.
Well, okay, you've been on the internet. Perhaps you could describe better than me for our listeners who have never even heard of the internet before. What is it?
It is so much. I spend a lot of my time on internet chat.
Uh-huh.
Where just thousands of people are there talking and talking about topics that range from everything from the movie Heathers to common chat, like any, you join the channel and it's just, they're talking about nothing.
Right, well now, this is all on a screen, on a computer screen.
Yeah.
And you can hook up from anywhere, you can just call into a number.
Yeah.
And from that number, just hop around and go from machine to machine and really talk to anybody you want.
Yes, basically, and you know, you can also transfer files, a lot of text files and stuff, and
uh-huh.
It's really quite exciting. I at one point was almost addicted to it.
Uh-huh. Yeah, it can be addicting. It definitely can be like anything that's really interesting. It's good to mix it up a bit and get away from from the computer world for a little while.
Yeah, it was sort of hard for me to make that transition.
Yeah, but once you do and you sort of, you know, balance it with the rest of your life,
yeah.
It can be quite quite enhancing.
Yeah,
quite
yeah,
enhancing.
I know.
Have you?
I've been working on that, and over the summer I didn't have school, so I was sort of, you know, up every night till 5 a.m. talking
uh-huh.
to people from Austria and Australia,
uh-huh.
and it's really quite exciting.
And the good thing about this is it doesn't incur huge charges. And I know this is something that the phone companies regret not having a handle on when it first began, because they would certainly be charging us every second we were on the thing. But the way the internet works, you either pay a flat fee for a particular service, or you don't pay anything at all because it goes through your school, as is the case here at Stony Brook. And you can just pretty much stay on and learn as much as you want and communicate as much as you want, copy files, as you said, talk to people on chats, get mail, send mail.
Yeah, the mail option is really good because, you know, it's a lot more efficient than the U.S. Postal Service. But I guess
yeah.
just about everything is.
It sure seems that way sometimes. Yeah.
Yeah.
Although
and,
mail does get lost and mail does wind up in the wrong hands sometimes.
I recently heard a story. You were talking about it on Off the Hook, I think.
Uh-huh.
About the college where some kids were kicked out for tampering with the mail. And,
yeah, well, no, what they were doing was they were sending fake mail. They pretended they were some sort of an administrator. And in so doing, they made the administrator say he was resigning or something like that. Kind of, you know, a prankish thing to do. But because it involved computers, everybody took it much more seriously, and they were expelled from school, which I just thought was a bit much.
Yeah, I think that a lot of people are overly paranoid because a lot of information on just about everything's connected to the internet. I think they're paranoid because there's so much information that if it gets into the wrong hands, they think that they're going to do something with it. And I'm signing a fake resignation notice. I don't think is worth getting kicked out of school.
No, of course not. It's basically directly proportional to how much they fear the system by how much they overreact.
Yeah.
So it basically just proves that they don't know what they're doing, they don't know what these computers are capable of, and anybody that does is a threat to them.
Yeah, that's also, you know, the experts on the internet know just about as much as the person that's first going on when it comes to stuff like that.
Uh-huh.
And because you don't really know for sure. It's an odd thing.
Yeah, it certainly is.
I haven't been on in a while, you know. So.
Well, everybody should get on the internet one way or the other. There's commercial services, hopefully the prices will be kept to a minimum. And there's universities. It's worth taking a course. Register for a course at the university here, and you're eligible to have a computer account, and then you can learn a lot.
I'll
be a lot more in the class, but you'll learn a lot anyway.
What'd you say?
You'll probably learn a lot more than you'll learn in the class by being on the internet.
I've learned quite a bit. I've been thinking about signing up for a course so that I could get an account there, because it's cheaper than the services, I think.
Uh-huh. For the price of a local phone call, basically.
Yeah. Which is still pretty much, judging by my phone bills over the summer.
Well, no, if you're anywhere in Western Suffolk, it will cost you 10 cents at the most, untimed.
Unless you have message rate, which is
If you have message rate, you need to be very close to the university.
Yeah.
If you have the service, it be anywhere in Western Suffolk. You can always change your service though.
Yeah, I know. That's pretty simple.
Yeah.
Yeah, and one suggestion, I think the chalkboard scratching has to go.
You don't like that, huh?
No, I did not like that one bit.
Tell me, do you turn down your radio when we put that on?
Oh, no, I had the phone, and it was ringing, and I didn't feel like putting it down to turn down the radio. So I listened to it, and I bared through it.
You endured it in agony.
Oh, yes. Yeah. And well, like you said, I'm at the end of that train stop. Okay.
Yeah, well, you know, basically, the reason we do that is because, without appearing to be threatening in any way, we do like to show our power. We do like to flex our muscles a little bit just to show people that, yes, we're a friendly radio station, we put on nice programming and things like that, but we can hurt you. If we want to hurt you, we can hurt you. That's, you know, the power of radio. I mean, that's why they always go for the radio stations whenever they take over a government. They always go for the radio stations because that's where the power is.
So, yeah, that's what Yeltsin had to do, take over the radio and the TV.
No, he had to take it back. They took it from him.
Basically.
Yeah. What do you think of that, by the way?
Huh?
What do you think of, chaos in Moscow?
Oh, I don't know. I think it was sort of frightening because the world power that Russia has and all the people there, they really need some stability.
Uh-huh.
Because there are so many people there. They make a good portion of the world's population, and it's sad to see that we're in Somalia getting our troops shot by people that don't want us there, yet we're not helping the Russians.
Right.
Of course, we were backing Yeltsin, and he prevailed.
Yeah, but you know what scares me is the fact that Yeltsin isn't really getting all that much popular support. A lot of people seem to be questioning him at this point. And especially out in the provinces, he just doesn't seem to be getting the support he used to. I think people are a lot more concerned about economic conditions, and they don't see Yeltsin really changing things.
Well, that's why the communist hardliners had the ability to do what they did. It's because the country has been in upheaval for such a long time. They figured, why not go back to the way it was? It worked just fine that way.
Uh huh.
So you know they had the trouble.
Well, you know it didn't work just fine though.
Well, it. I guess for a lot of people, from what I've seen on the news and read in papers and stuff, I guess for a lot of people it would seem that way.
Mm-hmm.
It would seem better because I don't know. I'm not really an expert on Russia.
You know, history can always be altered, changed in some way.
And again, back to the power of the radio. You know, you can educate us. Gary Gnu never gave me the impression of a cud-chewing animal, but now I know.
Well, that wasn't my assertion, but some people might feel that way. But, I love the word ruminating. I just love that word. That should be the word of the week here at Brain Damage.
The word of the week is ruminating?
Yeah.
Okay.
So we'd like to ask our callers to try and use that word in a sentence, if they can, when they call us up.
Well, I can't really think of a...
Well, no, you're accepted because, all callers from this point on.
Okay.
Yeah.
So, I waited, and now I get that freebie right there.
Okay, how long were you waiting, though?
I dialed right when you started playing the science thing.
Was that this week? Oh, yeah, it was. Okay. Sometimes people stay on for, long, long time.
So I was on most of the show, I guess.
Okay, well, your quest has ended in victory, I suppose.
Yes.
And I want to thank you for calling in.
Okay.
And keep listening.
Bye-bye.
Okay. It's 1:37 in the morning, and I think now is as good a time as any to go into one of our most popular features. This is one that brings in the real radio Emmys, and that is, of course...
I wish you wouldn't do that.
Yeah, well, I'm sure you wish I wouldn't do anything that works, but the fact of the matter is,
I can't believe I just dropped all this. All right, it's time for... our weekly foray into the telecommunications world, where we reach out and attempt, and usually succeed, to confuse the operator. Tonight we are going to try and confuse our long-distance operator. Yeah, why not? First we'll get New York Telephone, I think. They're taking their time today.
New York Telephone.
There they are.
New York Telephone, may I help you?
Yes, hello. I'm trying to get an area code, actually a country code.
Let me get international for you. Hold, please.
Thank you very much. International. That's the word I was searching for.
One moment for a long-distance operator who can assist you.
Yeah, long-distance operators.
AT&T, Alfreda. How may I help you?
Hi, I'm trying to find a country code for a particular region. I was wondering if you could help me.
And the name of the country?
Bajor.
Pardon me?
Bajor. B-A-J-O-R, I believe.
Bajor?
Yes.
Or Beijing?
No, Beijing, not Beijing. Bajor. It's where the Bajorians are from.
Give it to me again. B-A?
B-A-J-O-R.
One.
It's near Cardassia.
All right. Is this the name of the country or the name of the city?
Bajor is the name of the country, I believe.
Hold on.
Yes,
it should be. Let you know if it is.
Actually, it's the name of the planet, but if I tell her that, she's just going to think I'm weird. Actually, the other planet is Cardassia 4, the one that occupied Bajor.
No, that's not the country.
How about Cardassia? They were the occupying force for a couple of decades. Cardassia 4 is actually the name of the...
the name of the country is?
Well, it's Cardassia.
I'm sorry, C-A-R?
Yeah, Dassia. And they're from Cardassia 4.
This is not in Russia, is it?
No, I don't think so.
Names are starting to sound that way.
Yeah, that's true. There's a whole lot of new countries.
Uh-huh.
No, these are the Cardassians.
One moment.
They have kind of like horn things on their heads, I think. Really weird necks. Veins sticking out, that kind of thing. AT&T is looking for Cardassia and Bajor. I hope people watch Deep Space Nine out there, otherwise you won't know what I'm talking
Mm-mm.
about.
Really? You're saying C-A-R, D's and David, am I right?
Yeah.
Nothing underneath this spelling.
Really? You're not getting anything at all?
Uh-uh. I got a feeling it's somewhere in the... Baltics there.
Hmm. Well, you know, maybe it's under a different name or something like that. You don't have any cross references or anything like
I
that.
I really think so.
You really think it's in the Baltics?
I think so.
Yeah. But you have no way of probing deeper into the Baltics?
It's... not without a name. Hold on. I need these names. You don't have any number at all?
No. I've never actually called there before.
I think it's in the Baltics.
Uh-huh.
These names are sounding...
Yeah. I mean, they have a very advanced civilization, so I'm sure they are on the network somehow.
Yeah. Because I'm not showing... Nothing else you have? No other name?
I just know that Cardassia has occupied Bajor for about 40 years, and the war pretty much just ended. But that's pretty much all I know. Bajor should be independent now, and Cardassia is a fair distance away, but they're obviously worried about the Cardassians coming back.
History.
Yeah, it's very interesting. I'm
yes, it does.
A bit of a historian myself.
It sounds like... See, I have no atlas here.
Yeah.
You don't have Go By Atlas.
Yeah, they should give you atlases.
Really, I think so, too.
Yeah, definitely.
I like that.
Yeah, because that way you can just look something up and,
yeah,
and find
it. Yeah,
for
me, it's easier.
Uh-huh. All right, well, listen, I want to thank you for your time.
I'm sorry.
I'm sure I'll track this down one way or the other.
Okay, then.
Okay, have a good night.
You also. Bye.
Bye-bye. Well, one of our more pleasant encounters on Confuse the Operator. Yes, she was confused, but remained pleasant throughout.
I don't think you can really dial Cardassia, at least not directly. And I'm pretty sure that applies to Bajor as well, but we'll keep you posted on this one. Antipathic sexual instinct with sexual satisfaction and heterosexual intercourse. The story of Mr. Z. At the age of 28, the patient was neurasthenic as a result of his excessive masturbation. Then frequent pollutions in sleep occurred, which weakened him very much. You ever have one of those pollutions in sleep? Oh, they're the worst. It was only occasionally that he dreamed of men when he had pollutions, and never of women. A lascivious dream picture, in parentheses, pederasty, had occurred but once. He dreamed of death scenes, of being attacked by dogs, etc. After these, as before, he suffered with great libido sexualis. Often, there came up before him such lascivious thoughts as gloating over the death of animals in the slaughterhouse, or allowing himself to be whipped by boys. But he always overcame such desires, and also the impulse to dress in a military uniform. In order to cure himself of masturbation and to thoroughly satisfy his libido, he determined to frequent brothels. He first attempted sexual intercourse with a woman when 21, after overindulgence in wine. The beauty of the female form and female nudity in general made no impression upon him. However, he was able to enjoy the act, and thereafter he visited brothels regularly for purposes of health. Incredible. This book came out, as I said, in the 1920s. Originally written in 1906. There's so much we can learn by looking at these things. Okay, 1:45 in the morning. Brain damage. We're taking phone calls at 632-6901.
Oh, well, I mean, of course. Oh, no. I'm not, I'm just, I'm amazed. I'm...
Oh. All right. It's 14 minutes to 1 o'clock. It's a little experiment that didn't quite go right.
As it's going on.
Good evening.
Hello. Did you think you're cool as...
You see, I only speak to live people, not recordings. Good evening. Good evening.
Hello?
Yes, go ahead.
Yes, I wanted to ask you a question.
Well, that's what I'm here for.
Yes, if Cardassia, right?
Yeah.
That's from that TV show about Star Trek Deep Space Nine?
Yeah. At least somebody here follows history.
Dude, is that where the Romulans are at?
No. Romulans come from Romulus.
Ah.
Okay? Wait, now, had I said that, I think she might have suspected something.
Oh.
Had I said Vulcan, she might have suspected something.
Those are the people with the funny stuff on their face.
Yeah, they got all kinds of funny things.
Oh.
All right? You wouldn't happen to know their country code, would you?
Yeah, I do.
What is it?
2Z1X. And when you
I like the Z part.
Yeah, when you dial it,
uh-huh.
You have to make sure that you press, there's a secret code in the phone. Then when you press the star key,
yeah,
you can dial certain numbers that no one else knows about, and you get in touch with people like that.
Yeah, I don't know if you should tell people about that.
Dude, because...
Tell people about the star key. The star key can be very, very dangerous.
No, it's not the star key. It's the pound key. And then when you dial a certain number,
uh-huh.
First you hear, like, instead of hearing, like, AT&T,
yeah.
You hear Wayne Newton, right?
And oh, then, no.
And then the Romulans... They intercept that as a secret tone, and like you know who Yoda is, right?
Oh yeah, of course I do.
He has a secret code, and when you dial his secret number, you hear stories about Patty Duke. But it's only if you can get a secret code that you know that.
And how do you get a secret code?
You have to drink a lot of Nest tea.
Okay.
You can only eat M&Ms that say N-I-N on them.
N-I-N?
Yeah, 9-inch nails.
Really?
Yeah, it says on special M&Ms. They're not red or anything. They're purple. And they come in packages from Caldor. And when you eat them, I drink lots of Nesty.
You know, the story you tell, it's like a fractal. It just keeps getting better and better as you go further into it. Keep going.
Yes, because it's colors that everything has to do with, you know?
Yeah.
And you have certain, you know, you have the basic colors of the rainbow.
Right.
But these are hidden colors that you can only see with a special crystal.
Hidden colors.
And when you hold the crystal up to the sky, special lights come down.
And where does one get this crystal?
You get this special crystal from a magic well.
A magic what?
A magic well.
A magic well? Where would this magic well be?
All right. You have to watch Hook. You know that movie Hook?
Yeah.
And you drink a lot of caffeinated beverages. And then there's a secret, like...
Any particular caffeinated beverages?
Yes. You have to drink Dr. Pepper.
Okay.
And then when you're watching the movie, there's a secret, like, subliminal message. And at a certain time of light, you get this tone in your ears, and it tells you where the secret well is.
Really?
And you rush to the secret well, and you dip your socks into it.
Wait, can you get the secret tone off a regular TV? Do you have to have surround sound or anything like that?
I have to have Dolby.
You have to have Dolby. Okay, that's an important detail. All right, so you have Dolby, you get the secret tone, and then you rush out to the well?
Yes.
All right.
Hold on a minute.
Okay. See, this is worth holding on for because these are the answers that... Yeah.
Yes, I had a delusion.
Well, we're all plagued by those occasionally. All right, so we're at the well. Now what?
There's magic crystals there.
All right, we get the magic crystals.
Then you have to go home and play Mortal Kombat, but you can only have the blood code in it. And then when you put the special code in... Vapors come out of your television set, but I have to go now, okay?
Okay, well, listen, you've gotten us this far. I'm sure next week we can continue this. Okay. Wow. Mortal Kombat, oh boy. How do you follow something like that up? Whew. 1:50 in the morning, and this is Brain Damage. Let's see who else is out there. Good evening.
Hi.
How you doing?
Before I start talking, I just want to say one
thing. Well, wait, I hate to interrupt you, but you already started talking.
Well, before we start talking about something different, I just want to say I love you, Rachel. I'm sorry what happened tonight. And I was curious of what the topics might be of tonight.
You're not going to tell us what happened tonight, are you?
No.
You don't think that's unfair that you say something like that over the air, and now we never know what it was that happened? It must have been something really horrible, right?
Maybe.
Was it really bad? I mean, really, really bad?
No.
Okay, but it was bad enough, right?
Yeah.
Okay. But in a couple of weeks, you'll forget about it, though, right?
Mm-hmm.
Okay, that's all that matters. The topics for tonight? Gosh, well, let's see. We weren't really talking about anything in particular. We were kind of moving around. We were talking about cud-chewing animals. We were talking about Cardassians. We were talking about, situation in Moscow and all that kind of thing. And you know, the local weather, of course.
Oh, so there's nothing?
Nothing really to trouble yourself with. You know, just kind of hanging out here on a Saturday night.
Oh.
Yeah.
Is there going to be... What's on after Brain Damage?
Ah, I'm very glad you asked that. What's on after Brain Damage? Anybody want to say?
The Furthest Sense.
Yes, The Furthest Sense with... Should I say who you are? Okay, Furthest Sense with Kenyon is on at 2 o'clock. And that's all I can say. That's all I'm allowed to say at this point. But
how
it's worth... It's worth listening to. It's basically all kinds of neat tunes from all over the place. And you can actually call in and request things.
Oh, you can?
Yep. We permit you to do that.
Oh.
Yeah, isn't that nice of us?
Mm-hmm.
Well, I think so. All right, let's go to another call. Good evening. I wish I could tell what tone that was. Probably a secret message in there somewhere. Good evening.
Hi. How are you doing?
Okay.
I'm pretty good myself.
That's good.
I'd like to say that your last two callers have been pretty fascinating.
Including the touch tone?
Yeah, the touchstone, and the one before that who was talking about the Dr. Pepper.
Yeah. Dr. Pepper does have caffeine, though, right?
Yeah, and I'm really wondering what happened between Rachel and Spencer over there.
I don't know, you know, maybe we'll hear about it in the local gossip column, but...
Well, I probably know about it. The thing is, nobody ever tells me anything.
Well, you think anybody tells me anything? I don't find out about these things. People say things to me, but they don't explain them.
Right.
Yeah.
Don't you hate that?
I hate that, yeah.
The worst.
I mean, you know, I'm a human being, too. I'm curious as to what exactly went on over there.
Oh, yeah. I think they're having some problems. I'm sure they'll work it out.
I don't even know where over there is.
Over there is, like, somewhere near Port Jefferson.
Somewhere near Port Jefferson?
Yeah, it's kind of, like, on the border of Port Jefferson.
Are we talking, like, on Route 25A proper, or
right.
Is it inside
yeah,
a house somewhere?
Route 25A, like, across from Pequot.
Across from Pequot.
At the Spencer house.
That's where all the action happens.
Yeah, the Spencer and Rachel house.
We don't want to get too specific here, but...
yeah.
Okay, well, it's good to at least have a ballpark figure as to what's going on around here.
Around the Port Jefferson area.
So now I know approximately where these things are that I have no idea what they are happening.
Right.
Good, fine.
Problems out there.
That's some progress for me.
Yeah, some problems like my own.
Uh-huh. Well, you want to tell us about your problems?
Sure, let's go.
Okay,
for it.
Great. Let's do it.
I have a problem.
All right, what's your problem?
Nobody accepts my relationship with my new boyfriend.
Nobody accepts it?
No, none of my friends accept it.
Why is that important to you?
It's very important to me because they don't, like, only, the girls I hang out with, they don't have a problem with it, but the guys, they seem not to like my new boyfriend.
Uh-huh.
And they, like, I'm really happy with him and everything, and nobody seems to be happy for me.
Well, why would they not like him?
They don't think he's good for me or something.
Uh-huh.
I don't understand why, but they don't.
Well, have you asked them why?
No. Well, they tell me he's like a jerk or something. I don't know.
Uh-huh. Well, you know, a jerk or something is a term that begs more definition to it. You know, it's such a broad term. It could mean anything.
I think they think he's too young for me or something.
Uh-huh.
He's only 2 years younger than me, but...
2 years is not that much of a difference.
Not
I
really.
Mean, you know, legally and all that, you can put all kinds of dividing lines on people. You can say, well, if you're not 18, you're not mature. If you're not 21, you're not ready for this. But the fact of the matter is, you have like I'd say at least a 5-year variation where somebody who's say 16 could be more mature than somebody who's 21. In fact, it goes a lot further than that. I mean, there's 16-year-olds that are more mature than people who are 50.
That's true.
It's very hard to define somebody by age, and that's what we spend a lot of our time doing. And it doesn't stop there. We define people by looks, by color, by race, nationality, you name it. So anything where somebody is telling you somebody is no good just because of that, you got to have something more specific.
Yeah, really.
If they're not going to give you that, then they don't know anything specific themselves.
Exactly. Thank you for clearing that up for me.
Well, you know, I hope it does, but that's something you really should know.
Yeah, how's Jim doing?
Quiet.
Quiet.
He's been quiet recently.
Repetitive I mean, tonight.
He was. You know, he said something that made sense.
Yeah.
And then he, I don't know. What exactly happened?
I guess once he thinks he makes sense, he can say it over and over again until everybody knows he made sense once.
Yeah, I suppose.
Yes, but don't you see? I mean, I'm responding to you as you're responding to me. I've heard what you've said.
Yeah.
I know... What, right. I understand what you've said. I'm aware of
I guess
the
we
train
have to
of
sit
thought
this
that's
again.
Been taking place. I mean, look,
yeah.
I mean, I'm sorry if people have an impression otherwise, but I really want to assure everybody that I have been following what's been happening all along, and I absolutely want to emphasize that. What's taking place, what I am saying now, I am saying as events are unfolding on
as,
the program
as
right
it happens,
now. There's
as
absolutely
happens, right?
No question about it.
Yeah.
Believe me.
Yeah.
This is as it is happening.
As it is happening.
Right.
As it is happening.
One more time.
As it is happening.
Okay. Thank you, Jim. Thank you for that discourse there, and I'm sure we haven't heard the last of it, have we?
No.
I didn't think so.
Hi to a couple people?
Yeah, say hi, and then we'll have to go, because we're out of time.
Okay, well, I want to say hi to Rachel, Spencer, Nora, and Justine.
Okay.
Bud and Leaf, and Bean and Boone, and Denver, and everybody out there.
There really is somebody out there named Bean and Boone.
Yeah, they do call in, don't they?
I mean, are these people related?
They are twin brothers.
Okay, you see... The odds of two people hanging out, one of which was called Bean and one which was called Boone, would be kind of astronomical, right?
Yeah, it would be like the people who the operator don't know.
Yeah, yeah, Cardassians and...
Cardassians, yeah.
Bajorians and that kind of thing.
Mortal
Listen,
Kombat.
Thanks so much for calling in.
Thank you for having me.
And we'll talk some other time, I suppose.
All right, say hi to Jim.
All right.
Hi
Jim. I'm not going to turn your microphone up because I'm going to regret it. I always do. All right, we're out of here. Another week has gone by. Again, thanks to everybody who called in. Thanks for putting up with the kinks in the program. It's going to take a little while, but we'll get them out. See ya.
If you're Stonebrook, New York.